My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We call it the Sunday Night Get-Together here on CBS Sports Radio. Dirty Mac coming your way live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. Now, would you bet your mortgage on either one of these two teams going into the final three games of the NBA season? Been a toss-up to me. We'll see what our guest thinks here. He covers the NBA day in and day out. You hear him all the time on SiriusXM's NBA Radio. Gerald Brown joins me here on CBS Sports Radio. Gerald, are you ready for some summer? Or are you ready for some basketball?
Jody Mac, I'm ready for some basketball because it has been a very entertaining series. Something that I was really concerned about, just the way the teams that were sort of, we knew Golden State was going to be there, and just a question of the matchup. With these matchups, if it was Boston or Miami, sort of be a situation where it wasn't a cakewalk for the Golden State Warriors. That hasn't been the case, and it's been some very entertaining basketball thus far.
It truly has, and oh, by the way, we're tied at 2-2. Both teams have proved they can win on the road in the other team's buildings. I don't know how it can be any more balanced going into the last three games. I had some interesting calls yesterday on the show from overly enthusiastic Warrior fans and Celtic fans who believed that it was a foregone conclusion that their team was going to win. I think it's a toss-up in these final three games. I guess advantage Golden State because they got two out of three at home, but the Celtics have been the best road playoff basketball team I've seen in a while. I think it's a stone-cold toss-up now that we get to game number five. How about you?
I agree with you, Jody Mac. It's totally a toss-up because one thing that's interesting, and you know, if you look at the sort of track record of both teams in the playoffs, you know, Golden State, when they had opportunity to close out series against Denver, I think also maybe Memphis as well as Dallas, you know, they basically let the series get extended. Then on the flip side of that with Boston, you know, in their series with, you know, Milwaukee as well as Miami, it was always a situation, a level of consistency that finally when Boston was able to win two games in a row, that kind of put the series to bed in the Eastern Conference Finals. I still don't think that that's the case because of the certain matchups and each team presents. It's very hard to lean, you know, which way in this series. And I wouldn't be surprised if this series went down to seven games.
Seven games and maybe even late in the game number seven. The show that Steph Curry put on in game number four the other night was special, if not spectacular. Just taking control, couldn't miss, shooting impeccable. I don't want to take anything away from Steph. I would call him the leader right now for the MVP of this series. However, and they do a good job on the broadcast, Jackson and Van Gundy, they keep harping on the fact that, well, you got to get out on the picks. You can't drop back on the picks. And to the Warriors' credit, they usually try and get Al Horford involved or Robert Williams involved, the guys who would be up to the task of rim protecting. So they just naturally float backwards. And Steph doesn't need but a foot or two of separation. He's going to drain a three against you. Why don't the Boston bigs get this? I know that Ime Udoka is telling them that, but is it just ingrained that that's your job, that even on a good pick that you're just going to drop back foul line or further down. I want to give Steph all the credit for making all the shots. Getting wide open is one thing, then knocking down a 28-footer is another. But what has been Boston's problem that they don't get the fact that you have to get out and get up and over and hedge on any screen where Steph Curry has the ball?
Well, Jody Mac, I think that, you know, clearly you don't play a Steph Curry each and every single day in the Eastern Conference. You might play him once a year, twice a year, and it's not back-to-back. And I think that what's happening now is easier said than done. These guys are creatures of habits. Maybe there's a factor that, again, just looking at the mindset, maybe there's a situation where they're so worried about the guy that's rolling to the basket or, you know, just any way of getting beat by him other than the three-point shot and just a level of comfort. You know, in these situations where they're not constantly doing that because they're not facing it, I'm going to err on the side of the fact that I got to give them a little leeway because it's not something that they have been accustomed to doing so. And essentially guarding somebody that spectacular, and it's very foreign to them, and it's really just showing. But, I mean, give, you know, Golden State and Steve Kerr the credit in terms of identifying – a weakness in Boston's defense and exploiting it to the fullest.
They've done just that, and the Warrior offense is, I would think, the superior offense coming into this NBA final. I thought the Celtic defense was superior. Their defense has been erratic. Usually when you say erratic, you think offense, but I think the Celtic defense has been erratic. What do they have to do differently? What do they have to do better after not being able to stop Golden State in the last 2 minutes the other day? Do you think there's any changes in defense for the Celtics coming forward?
Well, I think their defense has been pretty okay, you know, if you will. I think the struggles for them has been their offensive struggles in the third quarter, you know, and taking care of the ball. You know, Jason Tatum has turned the ball over in two of their losses, and even going back to the Eastern Conference Finals, you know, he's turned it over. When things go bad, it's always somewhere between 5 and 6 or even more turnovers. That's a lot of that's a high volume of turnovers for Jason Tatum and the Celtics. And their third quarters in a lot of their series, and specifically in these two games that they've lost, have been really quarters that they struggled to take care of the ball as well as manufacture shots and get quality shots to the basket. You know, their defense has done a good job because think about it. Klay Thompson had that good game in game 3, you know, and then obviously hit some big shots in game 4. And, you know, I think it was more so not the defense of Boston, but some of the adjustments that Golden State made, which was a huge one that I think was really a game changer, if you will. The decision to pull Draymond, especially in that fourth quarter, and allowing Kevon Looney, who was bigger, has had a presence on the backboard, allowing those opportunities to now get those second chance shots, which open up inevitably some opportunities for Klay and among other guys to hit shots that in game 3, they might have been there, but they just couldn't hit the shot. So I wouldn't say more so the defense for the Boston Celtics. I think more what is more concerning is the fact that the matter is their struggles in the third quarter, as well as taking care of the ball.
There were some people that questioned Jason Tatum after game number 4. He's got to be in control in the last 2 minutes. He's got to take the shot. How do you go with him not getting a shot up in the last 2 minutes? He took 23 shots for the game. I did not think he was not aggressive enough over the course of the game, and I'll give credit to the Warrior defense that they made him give up the basketball late in the game. Do you agree that as the star player, Tatum's got to do more, or do his teammates have to be able to pick him up when the Warriors decide, well, we're just not going to let him get the ball up at the rim?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the fact is the Warriors have really zeroed in on him, but let's just look at how the Boston Celtics have a very unique situation where they can have two star players in Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that obviously one has really been the fix in the wins. He's been the guy in Tatum that really gets you up to a good start. It really sets the tone, and everybody feeds off of that. And then you have a guy like Jaylen Brown who in some of the wins has been kind of like a pseudo-closer for them. So a lot of the stuff that Tatum has talked about, and people are talking about Tatum needs to do this and do that, Or if you look at the flow of their offense and their opportunities, a lot of that has really fallen upon Jaylen Brown exploiting his matchup and really feeding that hot hand and staying with it. So that really makes a lot of sense. So I don't subscribe to that theory. I think that clearly the biggest thing is he has to take better care of the ball. It's not about the shots and stuff like that. It's just really taking care of the ball.
A couple of big turnovers for the Celtics in that fourth quarter that led to the Golden State victory. All right, coming home for the Warriors. They were a very good home team during the regular season, but Boston already got them once in their own building. But they have momentum off the game four win. But is there really even momentum in this series? Seeing as neither team has won back-to-back games so far, chances are momentum is not going to be known until we get to the last 2 minutes and see who's ahead on the scoreboard, right?
Yeah, that's been the key thing. I mean, if you look at what, both teams have really struggled, and I think the biggest challenge has been, Jody, is that I like to call them the others, the role players, if you will. The role players haven't been consistent. So we've heard about Draymond Green's struggles and really how, again, he hasn't been effective in terms of being able to be that scorer since Klay Thompson has really struggled. And then when Steve Kerr, as alluded to earlier, decided to put Kevon Looney in there, well, now you have some more opportunities to make shots. And now you got a guy in there. So it'll be really interesting if that formula continues to hold a form and Draymond not being there in those certain situations, and then playing Otto Porter and putting Otto Porter in that starting lineup. It'll be interesting to see exactly if he can be consistent and hit shots, because the more opportunities that they have guys that are making shots, well, now the Boston Celtics defense can't sort of just square and key on Steph Curry, because you know what you're going to get from him. But if Klay is going, if Otto Porter Jr. is going, that will open up so many opportunities, as well as Jordan Poole. And then on the flip side of that, you had that monster game won by Al Horford. Then you had these situations where you have Tatum and Brown. There you know what you're going to get from them. And it's Marcus Smart, Derek White. But then Grant Williams, he was MIA in game three and game four. So it's just a question of, number one, are they going to get the production that they required or is needed from the others? And if they get three or more scorers that are really producing, I think Boston has a great chance of winning the game. But going home, when you look at that first game out the gate, I didn't know if Golden State was rusty. They had about a week layoff after disposing of the Dallas Mavericks and waiting for the Celtics. I looked at that, maybe that was the case, but it'll be really interesting to see if Klay Thompson, who had a good game in game three, struggled in game four, but still got the win, what Klay Thompson performance will you get? And if that, along with Steph Curry, it really adds more, opportunities for the Warriors to go ahead and win. But like you said earlier, it's a toss-up, Joey, because I think these teams and stuff like that, when you have guys and the others that are really, again, your star players, you know what you're going to get from them. But it's the role players. And which role players? Is it the guys that's on the road for the Celtics, or can the home players for the Warriors provide success?
Yeah, I give, first of all, Klay Thompson credit. His offensive game wasn't completely on par game four. He played better on defense than I think he'd played all series. He at one point was one of the best defensive players in the league. I don't think he's that anymore, but he's still pretty good, and he played very well the other night, caused a couple of those turnovers that the Celtics had, so I'll tip my hat to him there. Give me your answer on this one. Difficult game to referee in game number four. Both teams played very physically. I've been getting calls about, the Celtics are going to win because they're more physical. I don't think they have been. I think the Warriors, mostly led by Draymond, but Looney as well, and Klay's not afraid to body up either. They played physical basketball too, and trying to get to the rim either way for these two teams in game number four was very difficult. They played a very physical game. I personally thought the refs did a good job. I thought it was a very tough game to ref. And overall, I think they've done a pretty darn good job here in the final. And I need to know, I see a lot of complaining. Is that just Celtic fans when the calls don't go their way? Complaining Warrior fans when the calls don't go their way? Any call is always a missed call if it's against their team. Give me an objective observer's opinion on how the refs have done in the first four games of this series.
Well, you know, Jody, I think that, you know, it's the human element. You know, guys are going to miss calls. There are going to be some calls, but I agree with you. It has been a series that, you know, it's been well, you know, refereed and officiated. But, you know, there are some calls that, hey, look, when the, I think it was game four, with Steph, when he goes up for the three and doesn't get the foul call on Jason Tatum, you know, a lot of the things that the Celtics are able to do off the dribble, in terms of there are times where the Warriors perimeter players couldn't stay in front of those guys, and then they're going to the basket, there's some bumps, and then obviously it's not being called. But I don't think that we can complain, because one thing, the refereeing and the officiating hasn't been on the forefront of a lot of people's thoughts and minds in this series, in my humble opinion. We've seen great basketball, we've seen great defense, and it's been competitive. So I don't think that officiating, if there's on a list of saying, well, yeah, these are the certain things that, you know, hasn't gone well, I would say the officiating is on my list, at least, is down the line.
I would agree there. All right, a couple NBA questions, not finals related. Kenny Atkinson getting the gig with the Charlotte Hornets. I was a fan of Kenny with the Nets. Thought he got a little shortchanged when he lost his job. That Carolina job is a weird one. They never make that next step up to a true contender. They can make the playoffs now that it's 10 teams in each conference. Is that a good job for Kenny Atkinson, or just, hey, they give you an offer, you got to jump back on the horse because you never know if someone else is going to ask down the road?
I think it's a good job because, obviously, you have young talent. You know, they're going to have a decision in regards to Jordan, and management is going to re-sign Miles Bridges. You know, you got some pieces that are in place in LaMelo Ball, and I think the biggest thing is that you're right. When Kenny Atkinson was in Brooklyn, you know, you had a bunch of players that obviously were still trying to sort of prove their worth in the NBA. And one thing about what they were able, he was able to do, and that team was able to do, they all bought in. So now the question will come into, which is with any situation, is how much buy-in will you have from those younger players who, yeah, they might have read their press clippings, they've had some success, LaMelo Ball is Rookie of the Year. How much of a buy-in will they give into Kenny Atkinson's philosophy, thought process, in order for them to take the next step? That will be the key. But they have some talent. It's just a question of how well will they mesh together.
All right. Need a prediction out of you, and I'm not going to ask you about the Warriors and the Celtics. We're about 10 days, week and a half away from the NBA draft. Are we going to have an exciting night? Will there be deals to be made? Will there be a lot of moving up and down the board, or is it just going to be teams pick in order, best available player, blah, 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 and not have that good debate as to whether a team made a good move or not, trading up or trading down? Crystal ball it for me. NBA draft night. A lot of movement, or just at the end of the day, we're going to have 60 new names in the NBA?
Well, I think we might have some moves, but I tell you, the biggest move that is going to be on that chessboard, if you will be, obviously, if we have a lot of movement, then we can say perhaps maybe the forecast looks good in terms of labor peace between the Players Association and the league itself. If there's not a lot of movement, maybe, you know, teams are a little gun-shy, if you will, because perhaps there could be sort of a work stoppage that could be on the horizon if there's some labor issues there. I think the biggest thing is that, you know, aside from free agency and the draft, you know, like you mentioned, is the fact that the matter is there's a big issue in getting, you know, both parties on the same page and seeing if they can rectify this situation before they opt out in December really will tell us if this season or the seasons to come will not be affected by that. So draft night is sort of a great gauge to see exactly. If we see a lot of moves, that means that perhaps we won't see any type of work stoppage. I think that, you know, somehow, some way, I don't know, do the Lakers do something in terms of making a move? I mean, there could be some moves, but if there's a major, major move out there, I would be very shocked and surprised.
That's why we get Terrell Brown on with us. I had not even tied the CBA to the NBA draft, but could be foretelling. Very good way to look at it. Now you've given me something to think about leading up to the NBA draft. I will be rooting heartily for a busy night because that would bode well that we will not have any season interruptus, and it's more fun for guys like you and I who do this for a living and talk about it. Gerald, I appreciate you talking to me today. Thanks, brother. I will catch up again. Enjoy the last three games of the NBA season.
Hey, Mac, always a pleasure. You do the same as well.
Gerald Brown does a great job for SiriusXM's NBA Radio. Hopping aboard with us here on CBS Sports Radio. All right, Jody Mac coming back. Let's get those phones reopened. Wow, CBA tied to the draft. I hadn't gone there. That's why we get guys like Gerald on. Good thinking on his part. Need your good thinking on my phone lines. 855-212-4227. Get aboard with the Mac Man on CBS Sports Radio.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.